Afternoon, everyone. So this is the first of it's going to be the first of a couple of podcasts we put out describing what we do in the job. Here with Alex Davison, who's a colleague of mine. My name is Jamie Farrell. You're listening to the White Rose Sports Management, the WRSM podcast. So in this podcast, we're going to cover off as much as we possibly can. We get a lot of requests and queries into the website. People looking to see, you know, university students coming to see how do you get into the industry. And then you've got players also who are looking for management, wondering if they're coming out as young players, what does a manager actually do? What's the difference between a manager and an agent? How does an agent or a manager work in golf versus football? We've got a really good understanding of both of them because we have professional footballers and their agents as directors and shareholders and key people in our company. So we get a broad view across different industries, what the agency game actually is, and this podcast is starting today. We're not sure what direction it's going to go in. We have a lot of questions, as I said, that are coming in over email and text messages, and every time we go to a dinner party is, what do you guys actually do? So we do a lot. So what this is just to give you a flavor of what we do. Lots of questions. Eventually we may get some followers to this podcast and you can submit your questions and we can give you answers and it becomes more interactive. Right now we're just putting our thoughts on, we're verbalizing them and we're going to see where it goes. All right. So Alex is my colleague, Alex Davison. He's the better looking of the two. So maybe what I might do is I might be the agent or I might be the manager. I might be the person who asks the question or answers the questions rather. And then Alex,
I'll be the quiz master today.
You can be the quiz master. So yeah. Some of the questions came in over email. Maybe you can start with the first one.
Yeah. So Jay, I think to start with, just want to kind of know, what is your role? What would you describe yourself as and what's your job title?
Yeah. So one of the more, I suppose, obvious questions or the questions we get asked most often is, what do you guys actually do? So we work as golf managers, agents in obviously golf, because we're not football. So really, what does that mean? If you think about it, a footballer is an agent in a foot. You may have more of an understanding of what an agent is in football, or maybe you've seen Jerry Maguire. Basically, you get the deals done. So behind the scenes, the player does what he does. He's in a team environment. He's in a club, and your job is to get the deals done. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, fair.
So that's one part of it. That's more the agent side of it. In golf, golf is slightly different because every individual, every golfer is an individual. He's not part of a team, not part of a club, and therefore he doesn't have the infrastructure, support systems of, you know, I'm talking simple things like who does his S&C, who does nutrition, who does all the travel, who does his finances, who does his taxes or hers, who organizes family situations, who looks after everything outside of the golf course.
So it seems a pretty hands-on role compared to being an agent in another sport or football, for example.
Yeah, because you've some experience in that, haven't you? In the football side of it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you see, you're exposed to what happens in a football agent's day-to-day life, and you read about it in the media. They're typically known for doing deals. You've got your super agents who have reputations for having great relationships with the big clubs, and you see top players when they're reaching highs of their game, they decide to sign with these super agents in order to maximise
to get them to a club or get a deal done.
Next move, yes.
Yeah.
Obviously, very different to what you're describing in the golf industry.
Yeah, in the golf, the difference is that we are the club and we are the agent. So on the man, you can be one or the other. If you're dealing with a top player who has maybe an established team and he wants you to be his commercial guy, so he wants you to negotiate all his deals. So the logos that you would see, whether it be Nike or Adidas or corporate logos like KPMG or whatever, your job would be to find them, market the player, sell the player, close the deal, negotiate the terms of the contract and make sure that it's commercially viable for the player. Now, if you take a younger player or a player who maybe isn't in the top 50 of the world, maybe they don't have the processes established. Maybe they're a very good player. Maybe, you know, they're not quite sure what's not working. So maybe they hit the ball very well, very talented, competing well on a lower level. It's a top 100 in the world. But they're looking for that X factor to get from top 100 to top 10, top 20, where it really matters and where it makes a difference.
Right. And obviously, I think this is probably a common denominator in most sports. But, you know, the players at the lower echelons of professional sport are probably overlooked by a lot of management or agents, whether that's in football or golf. And, you know, how do you kind of offer your services to a player that's maybe an amateur versus one of your top players?
Very different. When I say very different, yeah, it really is. You take a young guy who's coming in and he's coming as either a really top amateur and he's had a lot of success, maybe coming from the collegiate circuit in the US or elsewhere. So someone who's used to having a team around, but someone who doesn't have the experience of even basic things. They may not even be old enough to rent a car. For example, if you're on the European Tour and you travel, I'm not sure what the number of countries is, but maybe over 40 countries in a year. So how do you navigate to get from one tournament to the other? It's not just about playing golf. Right. So you have that challenge. Secondly, what is the team structure? So this player may have had a complete setup in college whereby he just rocked up with his golf bag. Now he has to do everything himself. So who does he choose as his coach? Who does he choose as his caddy, who is crucially important? Does he have a strength and conditioning? Does he have a physio? What you will see on tour is that you've and managers and coaches and a plethora of everything, everyone providing a service to the player, most people looking to make a living for themselves. The skill that we would have, and for us in particular with our players, is we have to choose the right coaches who are in it for more than just their own personal gain.
Okay.
And that's a challenge because, to be fair, it is an industry that
and how are you the best
needs to be fed.
To be doing that? Obviously, you come from a management background.
Yeah, so I look at management slightly differently. I came in from outside of golf. So usually you land in my role for one of two ways. One, you're professional, so you're business or you're legal, and you bring that skill set into it, into golf, and you concentrate more on the golf side of it and the functioning of a proper team and positioning the right people in the right places to make sure the player works or it works well for the player. Or you come in as an ex-golfer and you've done it to a certain level, but you haven't quite succeeded. You use the experience that you've gained on tour from traveling, from being around, your contacts by the from the time that you're on tour, and you give that to the player. So I've came the first route. My background is a financial advisor. I spent 10 years in that in Ireland and also managing people and leading people. So I brought the skill set and capabilities of that into golf, and I feel that, you know, obviously I'm looking at it through my eyes. I think that's a good skill set to bring, rather than being a golfer who may not have the experience in the professional side of it, but knows more about golf.
So a lot of people would maybe question whether the right decision would be to be managed by somebody who's played the game at the very highest level versus somebody like yourself who's come from more of a financial people management background. So where do you think your skill set really does lie, and how do you think that you can really help manage your team and get the most out of a golfer, which you really have had no experience of playing at the highest level?
Yeah, good question. If you look at the top players in the world, if you look at Tiger, you look at Rory, you look at Brooks, DJ, Justin Thomas, you know, Matt Kuchar, Phil Mickelson, well, Phil to a lesser extent, their agents or their managers are business people coming from business. They're not ex-golfers. Now, you can say that if you step back a step and you take a young golfer, well, a mentorship of a person who has done it, seen it, being there, bought the T-shirt, could be invaluable. What you need to be careful of is, well, why did that person's career finish? So what was the negative feeling that that person had towards golf, towards the journey? And do they carry it into, you know, trying to mentor a younger player who's coming in with all the exuberance and enthusiasm in the world? Is that negative? Because if you're an agent or a manager, and you're an ex player, it means that you wanted to be a player first and it didn't work out, and therefore you had to turn a different route. And how do you handle that negative?
And do you think it might be quite refreshing for some of the players to actually realise that you're not from a golf background and realise that?
Yeah, well, it is, because I've seen it, I've had the feedback on it, that it is beneficial that if you come from outside and you don't have that weight of experience, sometimes they can speak to you. You need an understanding. You know, you need to know what end of the club you hit it with. You need to know what's a birdie, what's an eagle. You need to have an idea of how to hold yourself around the course to make sure that you don't stand out for the bad reasons. But from an objectivity, business point of view, structuring people, organising a group, making the team work, not
I guess
sticking to your channel, really.
You're never going to be, and an agent's role is never going to be that of telling your player how to swing the club anyway. So whether you've come from a golfing background or a business background, I suppose your main responsibility is to make sure that your player has the right people around him who can tell him how to swing the club, opposed to help him swing the club for him.
Yes, in a nutshell. So I've worked with different agencies. I've had my own company. I've had some experience in bigger agencies, some really good experiences. And I've seen it across a broad spectrum of what the agents do and what the managers do. Generally, you know, it's not rocket science, but there is a value to add if you can do it properly. So from my point of view, you're correct. You don't, the golfer and the coach and the golfer and the caddy are the two most important relationships. So the agent should not interfere in the golf, but he could interfere is the wrong word. He could observe, evaluate, and give feedback on the various professionals that surround the golfer. Because the golfer should be considered as the CEO of the company. The CEO will have people employed, and you know, he needs those people reviewed, and objectively, he needs that feedback. The other thing is that as a golfer, your employees may work for a different company as well as yours, because they may have four players or five players, and therefore, are you getting the best out of your employees? Should you go exclusive? What's the costs involved in all of that? My role in all of this is to pick the right people, evaluate, and make sure that we continuously review to make sure that the player gets the best at all times.
So what I'm really keen to understand is, if you're an amateur, top amateur, you're just making that decision to turn pro, at what point do you make the decision to look for a management company or employ an agent? And where do you think the benefits are for a player in that transition, making that big step to turning professional?
Well, firstly, you know, there's lots of rules that surround all of this. So the RNA is the regulating body, and there's a lot of rules around when an amateur can engage in the services of an agent, when can they be paid, when can they not be paid, whether it be NCAA in the US or whether it be the RNA over in Europe. You need to be careful. That's the first thing. Secondly, taking all that aside and everything else being equal, you need to have your team established before you turn pro. What I see and what I've seen over the last 10 years is you come from amateur to professional and you're expected in the flick of a switch or the click of a finger to be able to compete. Now, the difficulty is that as an amateur, you've probably had if you're a good amateur, you've been on national teams and squads and you've had federations behind you, you've had full resources, everything has been paid for, everything has been organised, your coaches are there, you just turn up. But when you turn pro, you take on the full responsibility. So if you wait until the last minute, and I've just been in a conversation with a player in the Middle East swing this year, and very good player, very high profile junior player, coming to turn professional, no decision made on a management company or an agent until the week he turns pro. To me, that's wrong, because to me, that's a signal that the player is just holding out for the best deal. And what is the best deal? Is the best deal someone who brings you 10 shekels more? Or is the best deal the right people in place? If you're really conscious of making the right team, which you need, the decision needs to be made well in advance, that you can get used to the people, that they can get used to you, that they can find out who the best coach is, that they can review everything that's going on in your life. So when you turn pro, it's a huge change because now you're doing it for a living and you have to make money, and that's a pressure. But at least when you turn pro, your people are already in place.
So it sounds like it's a very fine line. And that decision making is key. Is it the right thing to do to accept a quick check, or surround yourself with a management team who want to manage you effectively and your performance is going to be aided, and that quick check that you may have decided to take at the beginning will be completely blown away by where you could potentially be in a year's time?
Yeah. And again, it's what do you see as the role of the agent or the manager? If you see your agent, it's very different, it's very individual. So you could have a family who's completely set up, who's dedicated to the player, or you could have a coaching structure and team in place already and you just need someone to do your commercials. And that's something that we obviously do at White Rose as well.
So is an agent for everyone if they're a professional or not?
In my opinion, not every golfer needs an agent. Every golfer could benefit from a manager, which is slightly different, because every golfer would need that person on their shoulder to advise and direct and to question. But not every golfer needs an agent, and that's the next podcast. That's a different question, because that gets into the commercial side of it. What actually is floating nowadays in marketing? Where are sponsorship dollars going? Why are the top 50 players in the world the only players that people really see? Why are the top amateurs the only players that equipment companies really want? Corporate America, which is where the dollar comes from. and international tournaments, like we're watching a tournament here behind us at the moment in Saudi Arabia, and you've got all these American players. Why are they there?
Right.
Are they just there because they like sand, or are they getting paid? So does everyone need an agent? No. You've got the 90% of golfers should not have an agent, should maybe have a manager if they're open to it, but should definitely not be allowing the commission to go elsewhere. You should be keeping that internally.
So it's very interesting, obviously, to hear you define the two terms as agent and manager. Obviously, we need to probably dig deeper into what those two look like. But one of the other questions that we're getting sent very often is, and to be fair, a question that I've been asked since I've been in this industry over the last 3 years is, what does your day look like? So as a golf agent, what do you do? When you wake up every morning, when that alarm gets off, what is the first thing that you do, and what's the last thing that you do when you go to sleep at night? And is it 9 to 5?
Monday to Friday. No, it's not. It's a very, it's almost like a movable feast, because yeah, you have your certain things that you need to do. So for example, I'll give you just a Monday. So Mondays, generally my day is a 6 a.m. start. I get up before, I have two kids and a wife, we live in Holland. So I'd have 6 a.m., I'd get up, I'd check all emails and texts from the night before. I generally have a little coffee to myself, plan the day. And then it starts, really. So then you have your guys in Europe, or you have your guys in South Africa who are ahead of time, and they start coming with their questions, and the questions can range anything from, can you organize hotels and flights, to can you look after my wife? Can you take care of something for my family? Can you get on a call to do our Monday meeting? So we would have a meeting with all our players, and in that meeting we'd review everything that went on the week before. We'd review your stats, we'd review your finish, we subjectively hear what you thought of last week, for example. So we've come to the end. That's the first one done. Covered off some interesting topics. A lot of those questions came in through email on our website, wrsm.golf. We also had questions come in social media accounts. We'll post it out. We'll put it on iTunes and probably something that works on Android. We'll let everyone know. We'll take some questions as we go along. We're going to do a podcast a week. Next podcast, we'll probably cover the topics of caddies. We'll speak to some caddies on tour, get their insights, get behind the scenes, share it with you guys, let you guys know what goes on with a caddy and a player. From there, we're going to have some players on. We'll have our players first. Hopefully get Emiliano Grillo and Brandon Stone, Fabrizio Zanotti, Johannes Veerman, Carlos Pigem, Pep Anglis, Oliver Clark on to share their stories of different journeys. We'll do that over the next couple of weeks. Hopefully you enjoyed this. Any comments, please let us know. It's the first one. Go easy on us. We will improve. Promises. Okay? Thank you for listening, and we will chat to you soon.